Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. To my core, I believe that teachers are critical for helping students reach their creative potential. And so that's what we talk about on this podcast. And before we get started, I just want to share a word from our sponsor, Wipebook. That's Wipebook with a P. Are flip charts a part of your teacher toolkit for distance learning? Cool, but the problem with conventional flip charts is this. They are awfully expensive and they are not eco-friendly. One use and they're essentially done. Check out this cost-effective and interesting alternative that we recently tested called Wipebook Flip Chart. Now, I gotta tell you, they sent me this flip chart and I'll share in a moment how I use it, but I absolutely love it. It is a marriage between a conventional flip chart and a whiteboard. It comes in 20 different surfaces per set, 10 double-sided sheets, one side plain and the other side is a graph for all you math folks. Each sheet is 2 feet by 3 feet, which I think is perfect for video conferences and Zoom meetings. I use it for professional development and for the classes that I teach. It also integrates with the free Wipebook Scan app, which you can download from the App Store or from Google Play so that you can digitize and share your work to Google Drive or any other popular cloud storage options. So again, what I love about traditional flip books is, you know, that it's permanent, but with this, it basically allows it to be temporary and permanent at the same time. They sent this to me for free. I got to test one out and I love getting to sketch things out. I love having essentially like a whiteboard with me or a flipboard with me, a flip chart with me whenever I'm teaching now. And I just have it right behind me as I teach. It comes on this cardboard easel that's perfect. And I can just stand it up right behind me and use it while I teach. And it just makes the learning visible, which I think is really important for things like inquiry-based learning and project-based learning, for teaching concepts, for distance learning in general. So I absolutely love it. And for all you teachers that are tired of wasting paper and money and you want to give a Wipebook, again, that's Wipebook flip chart, a try as either a reusable flip chart or a whiteboard alternative, you can check out wipebook.com/creativeclassroom. And when you do that, you can get up to 30% off of your first purchase. Again, it's wipebook.com/creativeclassroom, just like this podcast. And again, go check it out. I think it's pretty awesome. I've been using the one that I got for a little over a month now, and I absolutely love it. All right, so let's take a dive into this content today and into this idea of ending the semester on a creative note. Let's just put it out there. December is exhausting for teachers. The days are shorter, the weather grows colder, and here in Oregon, wetter and darker. Students are anxious, whether it's a buzzing excitement for vacation or a sense of dread that some kids feel in homes that are unsafe during the holidays. And this year in particular feels significantly harder. Students are experiencing pandemic fatigue, and many of them are feeling the loss of not being able to visit loved ones for the holidays. Some of them are grieving. Some of them are feeling the uncertainty of economic conditions. And teachers too, we are tired. Teachers are tired of redirecting behaviors and tired of mid-year pressure of the test and simply tired of the sheer energy it takes to be a teacher. And if you're teaching virtually, which a lot of us are, it's easy to feel exhausted by the sheer amount of energy that goes into doing virtual sessions. Student engagement is challenging this time of year, and it feels disheartening when students don't turn in work or they don't show up to class meetings, or you just face a barrage of black screens and you feel like you're just speaking into a void. And while there's no perfect solution for this, we can choose to end the year on a creative note. We can do something creative with students that spurs that maker mindset and gets them excited about learning. Over the years, I've learned that kids don't necessarily grow tired of learning. They grow tired of school. And this is a chance to tap into the wonder and curiosity and creativity inherent in all people. So I want to share some different ideas of things that you can do at the end of the semester. The first one is Genius Hour. This takes anywhere from 1 to 5 days, and it's the kind of project that you can do now, but you can extend throughout the rest of the school year. This works really well when you have devices, but it's something that can work well, that can go off screen as well. And Genius Hour, or 20% time, is a chance for students to engage in an inquiry-driven, independent project. Here, they own the entire learning process, from the concept to the questions to the research to the project management to the ultimate final product. There's a quick description of Genius Hour that you can check out on my blog if you're interested. And I also have a video that you can use with students when they engage in the Genius Hour project. And what I love about this is it's really a chance for them to learn in a way that's not traditionally in school. They can choose topics like, you know, Minecraft or Legos or whatever they're into that wouldn't typically be a traditional class that they would do. And what students can do in the process is they can use their devices to document their learning. So they can share their finished product of what they create at the end, but they can also do short little, like video reflections or audio reflections. I think you could set up basically like a flip grid in your classroom and have multiple students sharing their videos with classmates. And so it's asynchronous instead of synchronous. Students can do this on their own time, but it builds a sense of community and it lets them geek out on their favorite things that they're into. Number two is Scratch video game projects. And remember how I mentioned this idea of the whiteboard? This is where a whiteboard would work really well. So you're gonna have them do a Scratch video game project, but you can sketch out the flow chart of video games and how it works. And you can make it very visual with something like, the whiteboard. And with Scratch video game projects, what students can do is they learn the basic building blocks of programming. They learn the logic and they move around these blocks that are colored blocks. And in the process, they create their own games, videos, things like that. And what I love about Scratch video game projects is they can follow the step-by-step directions of something like a Pong game. And then after that, you can encourage them to move on to a place where they hack the game and make it their own. They start making the ball move in a more variable way. They can have it change colors, things like that. And they're learning how to hack the game, and that teaches them more about how the game itself works and how the code works. And you just let them play with it in like a sandbox type thing. Later, what you can do is have them do a mashup between two games, which is a lot of fun, having them kind of mash up two different games and figure out how the code can work together. And then finally, you can have them design their own game from scratch, and from start to finish, they can have their own visuals that they create, little sprites that move around. They can create games in different styles, you know, moving back and forth on a screen, similar to like if you remember Flappy Bird when that was popular, or Mario or something like that. And so what I love about it is, you know, it teaches them to think conceptually. It is the building block of coding and programming, and it is deeply creative. They're working within constraints. There's divergent thinking. The third idea is a design thinking project. Now, design thinking is a little bit longer. It takes probably a week, maybe at the minimum. I would say you might want to go longer. If you're teaching self-contained, though, and you have students all day long, you can really spend time on a design thinking project and spend, you know, half the day working on these. Now, there's a lot of different options. There's the tiny house project that you could do as a beginning spot. There's it's a math-related one. There's a create a sport challenge, which really focuses on building empathy, which is a critical part of design thinking. And there's a variation of this for virtual learning in quarantine, where students have to invent a sport that can be played during social distancing. And that constraint, that challenge, pushes them to think even more creatively while also, you know, developing more of that empathy. Idea number four is to have students do thematic blogs. I've written about this and mentioned this before. The idea of geek out blogs, where they choose whatever theme or topic they want. And what I love about doing blogs is, you know, they can blog in any subject area. They can embed videos and audio, and can make their own visuals to go with it. And of course, they can write, which is the goal of blogging. There's all kinds of layers of blogging, going from, you know, private all the way to public. In terms of the privacy level, you can have students do individual blogs, partner blogs, small group blogs, you know, or you could just have one big whole class blog. The other thing about blogging is there's a lot of great options in terms of what type of platform you use. There's Writeabout, where students publish to specific like user groups, nerdy interest groups, and I love Writeabout. I helped create it. I helped design it. I do not own it. I don't make any money from it. But I will just let you know that I helped create it. There's a bunch of writing prompts connecting to it. But if you want something a little more open-ended, KidBlog is fantastic. So is Edublog. So there's a lot of different options. And you might be able to use something like Blogger within your Google domain in your school district, if that's an option as well. So there's a lot of different options in terms of thematic blogs. Fifth idea is video writing prompts. And I love video writing prompts because students can do something high-tech with their writing. They can publish you know, on something like Seesaw. They can publish on a typical blog. They can write it on a Google Doc or something like that. But you can also have them, you know, create comic book style answers to what they do. You can have them have a journal that they create and keep track, and it becomes a writing journal that they, you know, if they're at home, they can scan it. They can take pictures of their journal and just send it in to you. Yeah, I think it's really important to recognize that just because something is distance learning or virtual learning doesn't mean it always has to be in front of a screen. So something like, on a sheet of paper is totally fine. Again, sometimes it might even be sketched out with sketch notes and things like that, which we'll get to in just a moment. And if you're interested in, you know, writing prompts, I have a lot at spencervideos.com. You can also find them at videowritingprompts.com. So that's something that you might want to check out. Again, videowritingprompts.com. You can download a whole bunch of different video writing prompts for free, and they are absolutely free. There's no catch to it. It's not like, oh, it's free, but then other ones you have to pay for. I think I have like 30, maybe 40 different writing prompts that you can check out. And if video writing prompts aren't up your alley, or that's you know, too much of a challenge, I do have 100 different free visual writing prompts that you can use as well. Idea number six is sketchnote videos. There's a few different layers to this. One is a flipbook style. It's very easy. It's where it's almost like, you just flip over the pages and narrate a video for what you've sketched. Then there's level two, which is a stop motion video. This is where they are, narrating a video and they move things around. If you've ever seen Common Craft videos, it's similar to that. So, you can use something, you can have them create these sort of stop motion styles to their video. Level three is whiteboard videos. This again works really well when you have a whiteboard. And then they could do something a little more advanced, like animated videos, which is something that I do. I love making these sketch videos. But again, that might be a little more advanced. It's a great option for advanced art classes and things like that. But if that's not up your alley or that's not what you want to do, you know, something as simple as a Flipboard video is highly creative. It doesn't use a lot of resources and materials. And it is, again, just allowing students to tap into that natural creativity and wonder. All right, the next idea, idea number 7, is maker projects. Now, maker projects can work well with tech, or you can have low-tech options as well. Again, I have some prompts that you can use, like designing a landing solution for a drone delivery system, all kinds of different ideas like that. And there's a lot of different options for maker projects. Unlike design thinking projects, they're not necessarily empathy-driven. They're more just build this, design this, see how it works. Another option, which is similar to a maker project, is a design thinking challenge. This is where you give students a very limited amount of items, 2 items, 3 items, 4 items, that are seemingly unrelated, and then you give them a tight timeline to create something. 40 minutes, 90 minutes, you move through it really quickly. This works really well, having kids in breakout rooms, designing things and talking to one another. If you're in a hybrid situation, they can do this physically in the classroom as well. And they don't have to have the best supplies, right? The idea is to really focus on creating something with limited resources. You might do something like a scavenger hunt with something flat, something round, something sticky, and then they use that to create a game or create a children's toy or something like that. So there's a lot of different ways to have students go about this in terms of a divergent thinking challenge. Some of them can be more open-ended, where you say, here are 3 items, come up with as many things as you can, and then make one of those. And then some of them you have a tighter parameter, and you might give them a limited set of items, have them select the items, and then create something, you know, that you've decided, a game, a toy, whatever. It's really up to you how, you know, how tight you want those parameters to be. Idea number 7 is a Wonder Day or Wonder Week activity. This is where students ask a question beginning with the sentence stem, I'm wondering why, I wonder how, I wonder if. And from there, they ask tons of questions, they do research, and they find the answer. So that's a Wonder Day project. It's inquiry-based. They can do this at home. They can do this in school. There's a lot of flexibility with it. And I love that it kind of builds on students' curiosity and their prior knowledge. Idea number 8 is a scavenger hunt. There's all kinds of different ways that you could do scavenger hunts. Finding specific items in math, doing a maker scavenger hunt, like I mentioned, a science scavenger hunt where they have to find, key items in their neighborhood or around their house or what they see around them, a history hunt, language arts scavenger hunt. And what I love about scavenger hunts is it takes it off screen, it incorporates movement, and it works really well for students who are at home but have the option of leaving home to go check things out. Again, you want to be really careful with that. Make sure that you're getting family permission. Parents, guardians have to know about this. In fact, in some cases, they may go with them. Make sure it's safe. But a scavenger hunt is a very hands-on, fun way for them to document their world and to think creatively. Idea number 9 is podcasts. I love podcasts because even if they don't have the best backgrounds for making videos and things like that, they can record their own podcasts. I have a whole bunch of different podcast options that you can download here. You can do book review podcasts. You can do debate podcasts. You can have interview podcasts. You can have them tell stories and record the stories. There's a lot of different ideas. Idea number 10 is a history mystery project. This is where you ask a particular question and you get them excited about what that mystery is. They have to try to solve it. And one of my favorite examples is this ship buried underneath the city of San Francisco. Another history mystery would be, how the city of Syracuse was able to defend themselves when they were attacked. And it's surprising because nobody can figure it out until they realize they used, the sun to shine onto the ships, sort of like a magnifying glass, and burnt the ships that were attacking. And you present them with a mystery. You have them come up with their various historical theories. You then give a yes or no answer every time they share a theory. And it gets them thinking critically, thinking creatively, coming up with their own hypotheses. And ultimately, they get super excited and engaged. I've done this with, third graders. I've done this with graduate students. And so there's a lot of flexibility in terms of how you do this. In the end, I really believe that students need to be thinking creatively. And I think that every act of creativity is another step closer to having that maker mindset. But I think it's more than just developing a maker mindset or thinking creatively. I think right now, in the midst of social isolation and quarantine, thinking creatively is worth it in and of itself. It's a valuable thing for recovering that joy of learning. And, it's interesting. I asked my students, how they're coping with the quarantine. And about half of them that are describing their healthy ways of coping with the quarantine are describing the creative things they're doing. They're drawing, they're painting, they're making, podcasts or audio, they're writing. And I think we can incorporate those same things into the work that we do with our students. And I think when you do that as a teacher, you ultimately become one of those teachers that students remember forever as the one who allowed them to make something awesome while they were in social isolation. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful and safe holiday season.